Allow me to introduce myself.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne the God.
Boy, y'all done came a long way.
I think that y'all have a certain amount of respect for, you know, what everybody else does, and y'all are just the best at what y'all do.
This platform, the reach y'all have that you've earned, makes space for somebody like me.
You guys have a direct line to the culture.
Oh, my God, I'm on the radio with Angela, Charlamagne, and DJ Envy.
Damn. Yes, you are. Hey.
All I do is read about the Breakfast Club.
Really?
Every morning.
That's good.
You guys are trending. Every, you know, I drag my ass out of bed. I'm like, what happened on the Breakfast Club today?
Get your ass up.
Good morning, USA.
Hey, fam.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Andy.
Charlamagne is, I guess he'll be here in a second. It's Thursday!
Ooh, ooh, one more day.
I ain't gonna front. If there's ever a weekend that I need, it is this weekend. It is this weekend. I am tired. I am beat.
Yes, five more days till the last time that you can vote.
And that's right. So make sure you get out there, you vote. I know lines have been crazy. Lines have been long in certain places. So get your ass.
I was driving back yesterday from the studio, and I was like, what is this long line for? It was for voting.
It was for voting.
I didn't know what was going on.
This guy's crazy. Charlamagne has entered.
How is everybody?
He entered?
He has entered.
Okay.
Entered what?
What? Yeah, but yeah, so get out there and vote. Halloween is this weekend. Halloween is a little crazy for kids because they don't want you to wear, parts of Jersey, they don't want your kids to wear anything that they have, they need help getting out of. So if you have to put them in a zip-up where the zippers in the back and they have to go to the bathroom, the teachers really don't want to be around and touch your kids, so you can't wear them in, you can't put them in that. If there's any type of mask or helmet or anything like that that's difficult to take off, you can't wear any of that. So it's I don't know how.
It's on a weekend, though. It's Saturday. Yeah, they're not going to be at school.
Yeah, but they still get dressed up Friday. Just like you want to come in here on Friday and get dressed up.
I'm getting dressed up tomorrow, baby. You know what I'm saying? That's only because I grew up Jehovah's Witness, so I never used to get to celebrate holidays. So, you know, I take advantage of things like that now. And then, you know, it's just fun. It's just fun to be able to, be what you want to be, especially when you can dress up as your favorite childhood heroes.
Okay.
You know, so I'm definitely putting it on tomorrow. And I'll probably wear it Saturday. We won't go trick-or-treating, though.
Nah, I'm not going trick-or-treating.
Nah, I'm not doing no trick-or-treating.
Now, what I think I'm going to do is I'm just going to hide some candy around the house or outside, depending on the weather, and kind of do like an Easter egg.
Just like we did Easter this year. Exactly.
Halloween.
We did the same thing at Easter. You put the eggs around the yard, put the eggs around the house, had an Easter egg hunt. Going to do the same thing. Might just sit in the living room and let them just walk from the kitchen to the living room. Trick-or-treat.
That's it.
Can I ask you something with those eggs that you're supposed to color and stuff? Do you eat them after?
You mean Easter?
Like the boiled eggs? Yeah, I'm just wondering. No, I don't know. I never
get those back
did
to
none
streets.
Of that.
No. Get those back to the streets, yeah.
That's like saying that pumpkin that y'all paint on, do y'all open them up and
nah,
eat
nah,
it?
Nah.
Some people make a little pumpkin pie or something.
Nah,
a
nah,
pumpkin
nah.
Not off the ones we color and carve.
Nah, you get back. You get.
No, but you take the guts out first, don't you?
Nah, you get those back to the streets.
You could do something with that.
Get those back to the streets.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I don't know. That's what we do. I don't know what everybody else does. I give them back to the streets. Treat them like they can't buy me a Birkin to pay my bills. You hear me? Take them eggs and the pumpkins right back to the streets.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chelsea Handler will be joining us this morning.
Never heard of her.
Chelsea, she has a new special on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
So Evolution.
We're going to kick it with Chelsea. And then we got Front Page. Who's next? What are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about these two anonymous grand jurors in the Breonna Taylor case. They were on CBS this morning. Yesterday, Gil King spoke to them and will tell you some of the details they gave about the trial proceedings that they said were a betrayal.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Did you knock drummers?
Yep.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne the Guy. What?
You let him knock before he enters the back door now? That's amazing. I like it.
Oh, my goodness. Let's get in some front page news. Yee, where we starting?
Well, we are going to start with the grand jurors who are anonymous from the Breonna Taylor case. They are the first two of the 12 grand jurors to speak publicly on CBS this morning with Gil King. Now, here's what they had to say about the charges that were presented to them.
They didn't give us
the charges up front. When they gave us all of that testimony over 20-something hours, and then to say that these are the only charges that they're coming up with, it's like, what did we just sit through? And then to be told that we're not charging them with anything else, to me, it was a betrayal.
Did anyone say, hey, are there any other options here? Did either of you say that?
Almost the entire room.
What was the answer that you were given?
There were other possible charges that we considered, but nothing that we could make stick.
As a matter of fact, when they announced that those were the only charges, it was an uproar in that room.
Now, during a press conference, Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron said a month ago that the grand jury agreed that the officers who shot Taylor were justified in their use of force after Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, opened fire. Well, here is what the grand jurors also had to say about Daniel Cameron in his press conference.
When he stated that there were six possible murder charges and that the grand jury had agreed that those didn't apply, the first time I heard the word six possible murder charges was in that news conference.
It wasn't presented to you in the grand jury deliberations?
No, I really felt that. This was all Cameron. This was up to him. We didn't get a choice in that at all. So I was livid. Everything that came out of his mouth, I was saying liar, because we didn't agree to anything. We never met Cameron. He never discussed anything with us.
Yeah, if there was six possible murder charge possibilities and none of them were presented, then they weren't trying to get those cops on a murder charge.
You know what I mean?
Or manslaughter or anything.
Right. They said they couldn't make them stick. Now, grand jurors also said they were expecting to be presented with murder charges.
Do either of you think there was enough evidence to present charges of murder, attempted murder, manslaughter?
Yes, I think there was. Just all of the evidence there. As we were listening to it, we were sure this was leading up to something like that.
Yeah, what would the evidence be? A body, maybe? You know what I mean? Like, what is wrong? We're like, I don't know, man. I just want to know what this information is for. Like, how can the family use this in the future?
Well, Breonna Taylor's mom is asking for an independent prosecutor to present a case to a new grand jury, just FYI.
Okay.
So she's trying to get that done. But in addition to that, these two anonymous grand jurors from Breonna Taylor's case said they also believe her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, and his account.
He didn't know who it was that was coming in. You know, he had no idea. You could hear the distress. Everything about what he said was believable.
Absolutely.
It made sense all the way through.
Did you find the police credible?
No.
Too many inconsistencies in their story.
What was your understanding about what happened that night?
It was a mess. It didn't seem to me that there was any organization or almost any leadership in the whole operation.
It was one mistake right after the other one. They covered it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. They dropped the charges against Kenneth Walker. You know, they paid the family $12 million. Like, clearly they know that there was some type of wrongdoing that happened in that situation. That's obvious. Right.
They said you don't need seven cops to go up to somebody's door and knock on it and say, you know, we're here to do an investigation at 1 a.m.
All right, well.
So hopefully Breonna Taylor's mother and family and everybody gets this new grand jury and be able to present their case separate of Attorney General Daniel Cameron being involved at all.
All right.
Well, that is your front page news.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's going on, Charlamagne?
Peace, King. How you, brother?
I'm all right. This is me, Will, man, Charleston, South Carolina.
843, what's happening? I just left home. I was home Monday.
Yes, sir. How you doing, man?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored. How you, my brother?
I'm good. I can't complain. Yo, I need a favor from all three of y'all, man.
Talk to me.
Listen. I'm coming out with this project, this music here. But I just want y'all opinion. You know, just good or bad. Just let me know what y'all think. I got it on my Instagram. So
what is it?
Yeah, it's just songs that I make. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the app called Voicy.
Listen, first of all, I'm not. I need to know if you registered to vote first. You voting?
I already did.
Did you vote for Jamie Harrison?
I did.
Yay! All right. I'm going to listen to your music. Done deal. Done deal.
Listen, my Instagram, my page is called Cream Mo.
Oh, boy.
Cream Mo, C-R-E-A-M-M-O or K-R-E-A-M-M-O?
C-R-E-A-M-M-O-E.
Cream Mo. All right, I got you. That sounds wild. That's a wild name, by the way. But you're a wild boy. You got a future in porno for sure. If this don't work out.
No, man. Listen, I'm telling you, if I make it to BET, I'll give y'all 10% to the Breakfast Club.
I'm good.
Whatever.
I got you, Cream Mo. That's a crazy name.
You can't
name,
get a chance to call up here and rap.
Hey, boy.
Hello, who's this?
What's up, man? It's King Gemini.
King
What's
Gemini.
Up, bro? Get off your chest.
You got through again.
Hey, I want to get off my chest, thank my mom for having unprotected sex, and my dad for a week pull-out game, baby.
Hey, come on.
Yeah,
thank
you
for the little things.
Hey, one more thing. If anybody looking for an underwear model, hit me up at real_king.
Why you writing it down? Why you writing it down, Charlamagne?
Yo,
Charlamagne writing it down.
Big print, baby.
Oh, big print.
Why you hang up on the man? I'm about to have a conversation with him.
We know.
That's a conversation you need to have.
Talk offline.
I was going to tell him to hit up Dramos. Dramos got the Tommy Hilfiger connect.
Nah, I'm good.
800-585-1051. If you need to vent. I get so kinky in the morning so early, man.
Well, there's nothing kinky. That man was looking for a job.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
I'm dialing.
Hey, what you doing, man?
I'm dialing. I'm calling you.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Lottie Ford. How are you? Good morning.
What
Good
up,
morning.
Lottie?
Get it off your chest.
You said Lottie Ford?
Lottie Ford.
Lottie Ford. Okay.
Marisol.
Marisol, get it off your chest.
Man, I'm just tired of, like, listen, I'm the only diesel mechanic in the whole company. Like, as a female, I'm the only one. And usually I'm only the only one in any company, but I'm tired of always, like, being degraded by other men just by what I do. Like, I gotta work 3 times as hard as any other man just to get some type of recognition.
Ain't that and
what
something?
Do you do?
I know.
She's a diesel mechanic, she said.
I'm a diesel mechanic.
Oh, that's dope. That's
so
dope.
I work on anything with an engine, basically.
Damn. So you are you under the hood?
I would rather use you than any of those guys.
Man, it's just insane, man. Like, it's so aggravating. Like, right now, I'm on my times, I'm on number 3 on my shop. And the only 2 people above me is obviously my supervisor and my shop foreman. And I'm still getting paid less than all the guys in the shop. But I'm putting out more
That's
work.
Crazy.
I've never seen a woman mechanic in my life.
Never?
No. Really? A woman mechanic?
And that's that pay wage gap. That's that wage gap we talk about.
Even back in the day, you would see them at, even when they, if you go to Jiffy Lube, you see mechanics that change your oil and everything. You never seen that before?
I've never seen a woman mechanic in my life.
But every time I try to say something about it, they always try to bring up my work when it has nothing to do with it.
You getting paid?
She says she makes less than everyone else, the guys.
Less than everybody else. It's insane when I'm doing a lot better than all the guys.
So you get paid less than everybody that works there. I thought you said you was number 3.
Exactly. We just discussed our pay the other day.
Right.
And I was I lied about it on my way when I was talking to the guys because I didn't want them to know how much I was making just in case I was making more than somebody and I didn't want a problem. And it turned out that I was making a lot less than everybody. Like
they might have did that to you.
Yeah, they might have been lying too because they didn't want to look like they didn't want to look like I'm making less than the woman.
you need to do some investigations and bring that up because there is no reason that you're 3rd and you're making less than everybody and you're the only woman.
But how do you do investigations? Because they might be lying too. Like
that's very true.
They might be like, you know what? Yeah, I make this much and they really don't make that much.
You need to go in there and ask for a raise and tell them that other people and do investigations on what other people that do what you do make across the board. You can go to like Glassdoor and see what that salary looks like and say, this is what I should be making.
Okay. All right. Because also my other issue is when I try to do side work, everybody calls me, but once they find out that I'm a female, they don't want to. So I have to have a guy talk to whatever customer I got to work on the side just so I'll be able to make that money.
That's wild. I'm telling you, I've never seen or even heard of a woman mechanic. So,
well, thank you, mama.
People probably I'm sure they have reservations just because you're a woman, but that is gender discrimination. So,
it is. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, and let's talk about Wayne Brady. He is slamming social media. We'll tell you the reason why.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front. Oh, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk to Greek Freak.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, so Disney is making a movie based on Giannis Antetokounmpo's life. He said, they are making a movie based on my family story, and they are searching for actors to play me and my brother in our younger days. No experience necessary. It helps if you resemble the handsome boys pictured below and have some basketball experience. Spread the word. That's dope.
What's the story? What's the background on this story? I don't know the story. What's the story?
I'm sure just
it'll chronicle his journey from being an undocumented immigrant living in Greece and how he managed to become one of the youngest players to enter the NBA. They picked him up when he was only 18 years old. That's interesting.
Very interesting.
I need more.
No, I think that'd be interesting.
Need a little more.
Yeah, he's been pretty successful here. And then, you know, coming from Greece, I'm sure culturally it was very different for him.
And the fact
to come
year,
over here and then play in the NBA.
Yeah, and this year he's probably going to Golden State. And, you know,
who said that? Why y'all keep throwing that out there?
You said you want a rumor report, right?
Oh, okay. I want more for the movie. No damn rumor report. But, okay.
All right, Wendy Williams has been revealed as the masked singer. And, you know, here's how it went down.
Now, I'm assuming that was her first and final episode. Has she been on there the whole time? Because, I mean, Wendy has a very, very distinctive voice.
Yeah, I think we knew right away who she was.
So that was her first episode, clearly.
Yeah, eliminated. She said there were tears at night. You know, she did share with Us Weekly that the entire encounter on there was an emotional one for her. So she admitted that she's not a good singer because that's scary for her. She said it's something she normally wouldn't do.
So I'm not a good singer? Who expected Wendy Williams to be a good singer? What do you mean? Why are you crying because you're not a good singer? We know that. We don't expect Wendy Williams to be a good singer.
But also, like, it was probably scary and intimidating because it's not something that's in your realm that you're comfortable with. But she said she was really filled with joy, though.
Okay.
So, and she also felt like that laughing kind of gave her away. You knew who that was.
Her voice is very distinctive. You've been listening to it for years.
All right, now Wayne Brady is talking about social media after he caught older men DMing his 16-year-old daughter. Can you imagine? How mad would you be about that?
I don't want to. I don't want to imagine.
Don't make no sense.
Here's what he had to say.
Mandy monitors Miley's Instagram and her social media because even though she's near grown, because she'll be 18 in February, notice it said near grown. And these grown men see her dancing and whatnot, and they just slid in. Mandy got on the line with one of them and was, texting back and forth. And he was talking slick until he realized that it was her. And then she's like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, oh, I just broke up with my girlfriend. And I just saw her. He's like, that doesn't mean anything. You tell that to your cellmate when we put you in jail.
That's right. Dropping a clue bomb for Wayne Brady, goddammit. All right. The struggle of having daughters. I thank God I don't have to deal with any of that yet. Mine are 12, 5, and 2. I got time to still mentally prepare myself for all these goddamn vultures.
Yeah, I had one reaching in my daughter's two years ago. Yeah, I sure did. And I replied back to him. He was I wouldn't say a YouTube star, but you know, one of them little Instagram, YouTube people that do them stupid ass videos, dude out in Jersey. Yeah, I checked him.
How old was he?
All right.
He was about 24, and at the time, Madison was about, 16?
So how much time 17? Did he get now? Come on now.
17?
Tell me, I need a good story.
Let me tell you guys about Wayne Brady's initiative that he talked about while he was on the talk, because he said he's very passionate about this.
This is something that I'm very passionate about, and I'm going to start working on an initiative. You can try to block a person's account and report them for hate speech. Mm-hmm. You can report them for trying to be someone else. But in order to really get to them to say, hey, this person is saying something damning or showing images to a young woman or even to a woman, all of the tap dancing you need to do to get that person reported shouldn't happen.
Can we just shut social media down? We don't really need it. Come on, guys. Let's think about this. All right.
I said dissing them over there last time. I was like, you know what I mean? I'll handle it my way.
If you got to knock on somebody's door, you got to.
But I mean, he wasn't sending no pictures, but he was aggressively trying to holler. And I'm like, she's 16 years old.
No, what you should have did, you should have had to meet up. That's what you should have did. Yeah, meet me at such and such place. And then you have dissed them there.
Well, I had Diz, and then we just go right to his house immediately.
There was a show. There was somebody had a show about it. Was like a reverse How to Catch a Predator. Like, they would send the person over. I can't remember what it
all
was.
All right. You know what? If you've ever watched The Affair, that show on Showtime, in the first season, his daughter was 16, and she actually ended up getting pregnant by this guy who was over 30 years old. I was just watching that.
We got to catch him, right? Like, you can't scare him away. Like, if they want to meet up with the, you know, the young lady, meet up. But when you pop up, it's going to be more than Chris Hansen telling you to have a seat, goddamn. Okay?
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
I mean, I mean, as a dad, they should know me. I'm all of my kids' DMs watching what they, you know, what people are trying to send to them and stuff like that. I mean, they should know. I mean, it's me.
Don't tell them that, because now you're about to have a lot of people in their DMs. You know, all them guys who are trying to get at you in your feet.
Okay, guys.
All right. You make everything awkward and uncomfortable. You know that, right?
Like, me?
Yes, you.
You're the one with a fake OnlyFans page for your feet, but I'm the one that's making things awkward. No,
y'all wrap up.
All right. Well, that is your rumor.
That's
report.
What he told him.
If I had a real OnlyFans, I would definitely. My feet look fine too. Look, I
wrap up.
He can't wait.
We got front page news coming up. Yee.
Yes, we are going to talk about Walter Wallace Jr. and the family says they called an ambulance, not the police.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
There's absolutely no difference between saying somebody is cute and good looking. It's no difference. Oh, I'm sorry. Behind the scenes arguments, guys. It's the same thing.
You know what? Forget it. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where we starting, Yee?
Well, let's start with Walter Wallace Jr., this 27-year-old black man who was killed by Philadelphia police officers in a shooting that was caught on video. He had a knife. He ignored orders to drop the weapon before officers fired shots at him on Monday afternoon. Now, Walter Wallace Jr.'s parents said that officers knew that he was in a mental health crisis. They had actually been to the family's house three times on Monday. They said one of the times they just stood there and laughed at us. According to the family's attorney, Shaka Johnson, they said his wife, Dominique Wallace, is pregnant and is scheduled to have labor induced on Wednesday. And she also has, he has nine children, by the way. And so, according to the attorney, when you come to a scene where somebody's in a mental crisis and the only tool you have to deal with is a gun, where are the proper tools for the job? Now, according to the family, they actually called for an ambulance and not for the police. For some reason, the police did show up.
That's horrible. I mean, listen, this gives a lot of, you know, validation to the whole defund the police conversation where, you know, they want to take, you know, budgets from these police organizations and put them into programs that actually help, you know, empower mental health care workers, because that's who should be showing up to these kind of situations, not police officers.
Now, the White House did issue a statement yesterday. They said the unrest was another consequence of liberal Democrats' war against the police, and the Trump administration stands proudly with law enforcement and stands ready upon request to deploy any and all federal resources to end these riots.
And by the way, this is what I hate about both sides. You hear the Trump administration say that, and then you hear Joe Biden say immediately, yo, but y'all can't be looting. Y'all can't burn down buildings. Like, F them buildings. F the looting. Somebody lost their life again at the hands of the police. Can we talk about that? Can we talk about the fact that people need assistance for their mental health in this country and they're not getting it? Can we talk about the fact that we do need organizations that can reply to these mental health people instead of police officers? Like, come on, bro. Like, what are we talking about here? They're always worried about the wrong things.
Well, Walter Wallace's mom also did say that she doesn't want people looting as well, and that there does have to be justice. Yeah, but doesn't want to see that.
We shouldn't even be focusing on that. These people care more about those buildings burning than they do the actual man that got killed. That's what they go to first.
I'm sure his mom said that because she doesn't want to see anybody else get hurt, anybody else get shot, anybody else go to jail. I'm sure that's the reason why she said that. But I agree with you, Ed. We should be caring about these innocent lives and these people that are being killed. You know, and less concerned about a building.
You're worried about the effect, but not the cause. Let's deal with the cause.
All right, now, 60 people in Minneapolis have been charged in a $300 million phone scam that was targeting elderly victims. Authorities say that these people got more than $300 million from more than 150,000 people, and it was a widespread magazine telemarketing scam. They said it's the largest elder fraud scheme in the country.
Big scam!
So Yes, what they would do is they would call with a fraudulent renewal script where they would say they're calling from the victim's existing magazine subscription company. There would be an offer to reduce monthly subscription costs. In reality, they had no relationship with these victims. They would sign them up for expensive new magazine subscriptions, and then they would get all these multiple subscriptions with these magazine companies that were fraudulent.
Now, see, that's a great scripted show. That's a movie. That's a 6-episode TV series, that right there. You know why? Because it was a big score. $300 million, and I've never even heard of that scam that they're doing. I never heard of that.
Me neither.
That's some content.
Yeah, taking advantage of elderly people. Because, you know, when you call, they're polite. They'll talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. And you're like, hey, we're trying to renew your subscription. So if you have any family members that could be prone to something like this, you know, scams are at an all-time high while people are at home right now during this pandemic. Just make sure you just stay alert. I get so many emails where people are trying to scam you. Like, click on this link here. You have a delivery from Amazon. If you didn't schedule this. I get so many random emails. And I always know it's not true. I always look at where it came from. I see it's some weird email and not from an actual company, and I never will click on anything or give my information.
I ain't seen the Nigeria scam in a long time, but I've been seeing the warranty scam. Hey, we're calling because your car's warranty is out? I see that happen.
Yeah, they keep calling me about that too, my 2013 BMW. I was like, don't have that car.
They call all the time for that scam.
I wonder if they, when they do these scams, though, is that their goal? Do they have a goal of $300 million? like when they're planning this out, do they say to themselves, this is how much we can make off this?
Or the IRS scam. I got a couple of IRS scams. They call and say that, you know, hey, you owe the IRS money. If you don't want to go to jail, we're going to freeze your accounts. If you don't pay this much by Friday or this much by the end of today, we'll give you whatever it is.
You got to come and get me to prove that one. You got to show up to the door.
Well, the IRS won't ever call you.
Exactly.
That's my accountant. My accountant says, you know the IRS don't call nobody, right? You know that.
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. All right. Now, when we come back, Chelsea Handler will be joining us. We'll kick it with Chelsea Handler, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Checking out the world's most dangerous morning show.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line, Chelsea Handler. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
We're doing well. Now, what did you teach Angela Yee? I've been hearing some rumors.
Envy, you have this all wrong.
Tell me, Yee.
First of all, I just want to put it out there. You know, I love me some Chelsea Handler. But I was very disappointed in the fact that she told me she does not enjoy performing oral sex, and we had a nice conversation about it, and we gave her some tips.
I did your podcast a while ago. We talked about giving a job, and she had some girls that gave me very specific instructions on how to give a better job. So yeah, you could take credit for that. I don't know that I put those skills to use yet, but I'm going to at some point.
Yeah, and you, because part of it, and I'm sure for guys, you can attest to this, it's never fun to get a job from somebody who looks like they don't want to be there, right?
That was so funny.
And Chelsea was given jobs with an attitude. And yeah, so I think that was part of the issue. You have to at least pretend to enjoy it.
Yeah, I was doing a lot. Yeah, everything is with a slight attitude with me. So that's the first problem.
Well, Chelsea, I'm glad you learned some new things during the pandemic.
She there?
Right there. I said yes.
We're actually talking to you today because you have a new stand-up special and you haven't had one in 6 years. So this is a big deal on HBO Max, Evolution. And a lot of stories on there that I was kind of familiar with, but it's good to hear you like get on that stage and really get in depth about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I wanted to bring some joy, some relief to this terrible time that we're all living through. So it was really important for me to film that special during COVID, you know, to try and pull something off during COVID so I could release it during this time. So, and going back to New Jersey, you know, it was a full evolution. It's like me and waking up at the age of 40, going to therapy, discovering self-awareness, discovering your own privilege, discovering a way to look outside of yourself and not just be focused on your own, you know, look around, see the world and make a contribution instead of just taking, you know? So, it was really fun to do. I wanted to do stand-up that had some meaning behind it, not just tell jokes.
Gotcha.
How did what you've learned over the past couple of years impact your stand-up?
Well, you know, it's not just about me anymore. It's about actually, like, being an ally, showing up, doing the work, not just, you know, posting shit, actually learning and reading all the time. It's like a practice. It's like, okay, how do, you know, and screwing up along the way all the time, and then having to apologize for screwing up. It's like, it's, and setting an example for other people, white women especially, who are my biggest audience, you know, to say to them, hey, this is what I've learned. Come with me and learn about this too. It's nice to see people evolve, don't you think?
Absolutely. That's what life is about. It's about evolution. If you either evolve or you die.
I seen you had a strong conversation with 50. Did y'all speak on in person or over the phone, or was that just online play?
No. We spoke last night. No, the night before last night, he called me. I DM'd him, and I said, hey, please give me a call. You know, I don't want to do this publicly. Can we please talk privately? Mm-hmm. And he called me, and I just asked him if he was serious. I was like, were you? We had a little small talk. And then I said, hey, are you serious? I think you're kidding about supporting Trump. I said, but I just want to see if you're serious, and if you are, why, you know? Mm-hmm. And not telling him as a white woman, because I misspoke earlier in the week when I said I had to remind him he was black. I don't have any business saying anything like that. So I need to apologize to everyone for saying that, because that's inappropriate. Mm-hmm. But I did want to talk to him as an ex-boyfriend of somebody I've had a relationship with. How could you possibly support this person, you know, this white supremacist who's in office? Whether you're black or white, it should be a problem for you. So I asked him, and he's like, no, I was just screwing around. He's like, the taxes are a pain in the ass. And I was like, yeah, but Republicans have all taught us all how to evade taxes. So if that's our goal, we can figure out a state to live in where we don't have to pay our taxes. I said, but, you know, a lot of people are listening to you, so that comes with a lot of responsibility. Like, who, you know, do you support Biden? He said, absolutely. He absolutely supports Biden. He said, I could say it on this show.
Okay.
With him this morning saying I was going to be on the show and telling you guys that. So yeah, so he's supporting Biden. And then he asked me if I was serious about going for another spin with him.
Yeah, you know him.
You put it on the table.
Yeah, I put it on the table. And you know what? If I say it, I'll do it.
Really?
Okay, good. Because we're tired of white women not doing what they say they're going to do.
Yes.
I can practice Angela's new skills that she taught. I can practice.
That's right.
I'm glad you apologized too for the thing, because I did feel a way when I heard you say that. I was like, what does she mean? She had to remind him he's black.
Yeah, no, I misspoke.
That's all good. It happens. Trust me. I do it often.
Yeah, that's good. Because you know what, Chelsea? You also talk about that in Evolution, right? The woman, the black woman whose ass you grabbed and, you know, you think is playful, and how she had to let you know that it was inappropriate. I think that's great when you do things and own up to them, and then also let people know about it so that they understand the history and why something like that is completely wrong.
Well, also, you know, we're in a situation where white people are so defensive if you bring up white privilege. It's like, oh, no. Like, as soon as you're defensive, you're wrong. Anytime you're that arguing about something, you're you know, if you really believed something and you were okay with it, you wouldn't feel the need to argue. So when you bring up terms like white privilege and people get, you know, so pissed off, then there's a real problem there. So, you know, my job as a public person is, A, to say when I fuck up, say I'm sorry, mm-hmm. B, demonstrate that you can fuck up as you're learning and still, you know, be part of the conversation. Like, that is part of it. We can't bottle ourselves up and not say anything. We should try not to say the wrong thing, but if we do, cop to it and learn from it, you know? And we all have the opportunity for such growth in this moment to be more compassionate and to be more empathetic and to see how deep-rooted this system is. And, you know, and how long it's been going on for. And it doesn't matter that you weren't here during slavery or dumb shit like that. And I think, you know, it matters what the system has given us and the domino effect and the years and years and years of oppression and what comes out of that. And we all have to be a little bit more woke and bang that drum a little louder, because obviously the time is here, you know.
All right, we got more with Chelsea Handler. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Chelsea Handler. Charlamagne?
You know, I go to therapy once a week, and one thing that therapy has done for me, was, as I can see it's done for you, it's given me more empathy, but also it's taught me how to have more grace with people. I have to give people the same grace I want for myself. So why don't we give each other more grace?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, you want to be, you know, I deal with all these trolls and these, you know, people who on Instagram, I mean, I had to shut off my comments because they go and follow my followers and my comments, all these Trump supporters, you know, it's like just screaming and yelling. And just by the tone of it, you're like, how can you possibly have a conversation with somebody who's calling you a whore and a and telling you they're going to kill you and that they hope you die? You're like, well, okay, we're not going to reach those people, right, obviously. But there are people in between who are timid and who think that if they admit that there is such a thing as white privilege or white supremacy in this country, that they're guilty of something. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. That's immediately what they think. If they say it's true, then they're somehow at fault. And I think the message that I'm trying to get out to other white people is, listen, we're all a product of a culture. It's not our fault that this culture is here and has taught us and ingrained in us these ideas, but it is our responsibility now to deprogram our brains from what we've been taught and dismantle this, you know? And obviously it sounds easy saying that, and I know it's not, but it is, excuse me, my boobies just came out, but it is something that we have to keep talking about very, very loudly to make it comfortable for everybody to move to the next phase.
I also noticed that a lot of industry people, and I know you're from the tri-state area, were cool with Donald Trump. Like you see all these pictures with Diddy and Trump and Snoop with Trump and Fifth with Trump. Were you ever cool with Trump? Did y'all ever have a relationship? And, you know, not that type of relationship, but just a...
Before he was president.
Before he was president.
You mean, did he ever rape me? No.
Oh, my God.
he called me at a bar in Hollywood once. I forget what it was called, one of those restaurants. And he came over to my table and he's like, hello, Chelsea Handler. I wanted to introduce myself. My name is Donald Trump. This was like, you know, probably 10 or 15 years ago. And I remember looking at my friend going, he's actually not as disgusting as I thought he would be, like in person. There was an element, a modicum of charm, but not, I mean, that was before he ran for president and then ruined it for all of us.
Are you nervous about the election?
I am nervous about the election. I'm optimistic and I'm hopeful because I think the amount of people that we're seeing vote, which is already at 60 million people, obviously it is incredible. It's up 221%, I think, from 2016. So by the sheer volume of voters, Democrats are going to win. That's why they don't want the votes counted, you know, because the more people who vote, the more likely the Dems are to win.
Right.
But I don't know what kind of they're going to get up to, you know? I don't know what these legislators are going to do in the Supreme Court, and it's really scary. And yeah, I'm scared, but I'm trying not to be, you know, negative.
Yeah, I have PTSD from 2016, and, you know, like you said, you already see what they're doing. They're like, we're not counting mail-in ballots after certain dates. Like, I don't trust it. I think they'll do anything to stay in power.
Well, I think the message that we all have to get out there, you guys, is that nobody can call this election until every vote is counted, because that is the definition of democracy.
Correct.
For them to the president of the United States to say yesterday, like, I don't want all, you know, we need to stop counting the ballots on November 3rd is bullshit.
Right.
That is the antithesis of democracy. So we have to keep letting people know that we all are all aware that until every vote is counted, you cannot call an election like Fox News or Trump is going to call it as soon as he can if it's in his favor. So hopefully it'll be such an overwhelming defeat that, you know, Ohio can be one of the first states that he loses. And then that'll be an indicator that things aren't going to work out his way.
Word.
Chelsea, are you enjoying life even more now as you're getting older? Because I see, like you said, that you're very confident about your body now and previously that you weren't. And just having the success that you've had and being able to move the way that you want to move. How do you feel?
I feel pretty, I mean, I worked a lot on my inner, like in therapy, I've worked a lot on my inner confidence instead of having this outer shell of like fierceness where I thought I was hot shit and arrogant and, you know, and basically just doing whatever I wanted when I wanted. You know, now I have a lot more of a groundedness. I just am aware more. I have a lot of more self-awareness. That's the gift of therapy, right? To tell you, hey, you're a bitch, like, or this is your shortcoming, or you have no empathy. You know, it's good to find out these things about yourself so you can cultivate them and work on them. So now I feel pretty confident that I get to do the jobs I want to do, and I get to inject meaning and, you know, into every piece of work.
Where do you think a lot of your original insecurities came from before therapy?
I think I wasn't insecure enough until therapy. You know, I think once I got to therapy and then you find out all this stuff about you, you're like, oh, you're like, I've been this much of a bit like bitch and how I've come across for how long, or, you know, telling people, everyone I saw, what I thought of them and calling everybody out on stuff. It was like, what, who do I think I am? And so that made me insecure to find out about it after the fact. I was like, ooh. So then there's this period of like, you're trying to keep your old personality, the stuff that makes you, you, your edge and your, you know, and my not give a attitude, but also implement this new self-awareness I have. You know, sometimes you overcorrect. Right. Like for a while, I just would sit at dinners and not say anything to any of my friends because I was like, just take it in. Don't insert yourself into every conversation. Nobody, not everybody needs to hear what you think every second just because it popped into your head. And then you marry those two, you know, you marry your self-awareness with your edge and with your, you know, the stuff that makes you you. And then you become, and then your confidence comes back, you know. So there was a period of like 2 or 3 years, especially after the Netflix show, where I wasn't on a TV show. And my, you know, my, I was self-conscious because my whole identity was tied to being on a show every night. So yeah, I experienced a lot of insecurity after that ended. I was like, well, who am I? What am I? Does anybody care about anything I have to say?
Yeah, now that's when people were shitting on you a lot. They'd be like, oh, Chelsea Handler fell off. Her career is over. So was it that rhetoric that got you like in your head?
No. I mean, I don't really pay attention to what people are saying about me. It's more of an inside job. Like, I really care about what I think about me first and foremost. I mean, my career has never fallen off. You know, I've always had work going on. I'm always working on something. I wanted to slow down purposefully, but it was a definite adjustment from being so visible all the time to not being as visible. Like, when I started doing stand-up again, which, you know, I was like, are people going to come and see me when I don't have it to promote on a nightly talk show? Like, am I going to sell tickets? Is that going to be like, do I still have that fan base? I definitely had all of those feelings for sure.
All right, we got more with Chelsea Handler when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Chelsea Handler. You know, last time you came up here, we were talking about a drug that you...
Ayahuasca.
And you actually said, you were telling me and Charlamagne about it. Do you still try it? You still use it? Do you dibble and dabble with it at all? Or no? Totally gone.
Not ayahuasca, because you can't really take that yourself, but I take all sorts of drugs.
You said it was mushrooms, you said. You said you were going to bring up some mushrooms. Remember something?
Oh, that must have been shrooms.
No, I wasn't here. I don't think you was here.
No, but I want to do ayahuasca with Chelsea, with the shaman and all of that.
Yeah, I'm doing it for New Year's. I'm going on a spiritual retreat.
Oh, really? Where?
Mexico.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to hear about that. Ayahuasca's incredible. It's such an incredible experience. And you have to go in with the right mindset, you know, like that you have a good experience, and you will. I like mushrooms. I mean, I smoke weed a lot. You know, that's kind of my favorite way to ingest weed, although it's not that great for my throat because I end up coughing half the time. But I take a lot of edibles. Right. I like cannabis pills. I'm into cannabis. It's my drug right now.
And we need your throat because we've taught you some things that we need you to have that available for.
I got to have that throat so I can give 50 his... his birthday present.
Give 50 a little of that Becky. Listen, have you ever Karen before, Chelsea, before your awakening?
Oh, come on. No, no.
Never?
No. I don't think so. Somebody asked me that the other day. And I mean, I can't think of a time. No. I mean, I've always been pretty, you know, I'm not like that. But I mean, my lack of awareness was my problem. You know, I dated a black guy in high school, and we got caught 3 times with weed, and 3 times he got arrested, and 3 times they let me go. At that point in my life, I didn't even think then why that was happening.
Why did you say it was yours?
I don't remember what happened exactly, but even if I had, the cops didn't care. They're looking for a black guy to fuck up.
And he was going
to
get arrested and she was going to get...
Yeah, let her go, you know? That's exactly what it was, but I was too young to even take into consideration. So my guilt and my shame is from my lack of self-awareness, not from ever acting like a Karen. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. I would love to see you... Because, you know, I'm big on mental health, especially, you know, black men, you know, dealing with mindfulness and mental health. I would love to see you get 50 to go to therapy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe we can do that on SNL.
SNL.
A skit.
Therapy session with 50 and me.
I think 50 has a lot to get off his chest.
I agree. You know, 50 would benefit from therapy. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's ever gone. Have you ever talked to him about it?
I don't think so. I don't think he's ever gone. I could be wrong though.
I don't think so.
Because he seems like he needs like a good listener. We had a nice talk the other night. We talked for like 25, 30 minutes and I could tell that it was nice to have a friend on the phone, you know, and it was so nice to talk to him again. It's been so many years and he's so sweet. You know him. He's so sweet.
You're the only person that could probably have said something like that to him and he wouldn't have went in on you. He was like, okay, I'm listening.
Oh, really? Well, maybe he's still got a thing for me.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe he still does have a crush on me. That would be nice.
In all due respect, it does say a lot about your WAP. That he, retracted so fast. It does.
Thank you for bringing up my WAP.
I just got a text for you, Chelsea. Donnell Rawlings just said, tell Chelsea that's my baby and I love her.
Donnell Rawlings is so funny. We were at Chappelle's show in Ohio a few weeks ago.
Did you say he was funny?
Yeah, I mean, funny in a way that is, what I'm talking about. Donnell. Talked about a river belt. He was like, he had been in the river at, Yellow Springs where Dave has this kayak. I guess they go on kayaks and stuff.
Yep.
He was talking about a river belt and he did like 45 minutes on stage. No one knew what the f- he was talking about. I was like, what is this belt? Are you hitting someone with this belt? He said, no, it's a river belt. It's a river belt. So now whenever I see him, I call him the river belt rapist. But he doesn't love it.
Jesus Christ.
That didn't go the way he wanted it to.
On you guys, so be prepared. Whenever I'm talking to I have my friend's white boyfriend, whenever I'm telling him about his white male privilege, I'm like, you're just a white rapist. White male privilege rapist. He's like, oh, here she goes again.
Goodness gracious. Well, all right. Well, go to Donnell Rawlings' Instagram page. Hashtag.
No, don't do that to him. No, that's too far.
Donnell Rawlings is not a rapist.
Okay, good. We got to get that PSA out the way.
Make sure I make up for everything I say while I'm in the same
It's Bill, listen, Chelsea, now he tried to say something nice and then you called him a rapist.
No, he's not.
Okay, good.
I love you. Come over. He actually is coming over on Sunday. I told him to bring his belt.
My goodness. All right, Chelsea. Well, thank you for checking in as usual. We appreciate you. Next time we want to see you in person somehow, some way.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to send you guys some mushrooms, okay?
All right.
Is that legal?
You know I'm into that.
No, it's not, but I'll get them to you. Don't worry.
All right. Let's go. White privilege. Let's do
white
it.
Chelsea Handler is the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye,
Chelsea. Oh, whoa. How the flu went out of Spain to be in my domain in automotive.
Whoa, Birkin. $3
on the rain called
Birkin.
Birkin.
Whoa,
I was in the trap.
All right. Oatmeal, apple, cinnamon, in my mouth. In my mouth. What, man? What's wrong with you?
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy.
What's your problem?
Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk, Saweetie.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
So, Saweetie did an interview with The Shade Room, and she admitted that she did used to work in the strip club back in the day.
You know what? I feel like people have a huge misconception of strippers.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is because I used to work at the strip club myself.
Wait a minute. What you mean? You used to be dipping it low?
Girl, I got a couple tricks. No, but all I'm saying is, I've seen that conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't like when people uplift me while putting down another woman. Because while I was a server at the strip club, I realized that strippers are the regular people. They're college. Well, I was a college girl.
Who said they're
not? College girls. They're mothers.
Who said they weren't?
And people do look down. People do look down on strippers and always have things to say. All the time. Don't act clueless about that. People do pass judgment. People do pass judgment.
I'm from the South. I knew what she's talking about, like what they showed in Players Club, like the woman that was going to the strip club because they were trying to get money to, go
pay
to college.
Bills, well,
exactly. That's all I grew up around. It was just another hustle. That's all.
Well, I've definitely heard people talk down on strippers before. And listen, shout out to my girl Gigi. She was a former stripper in Magic City, and she's
Gigi.
One of my co-hosts on Lip Service.
One of the best to ever do it, goddammit. Okay?
Part of the snack pack.
That's a hell of a name.
What's the snack pack?
All right.
That was the stripper crew?
Yeah.
No, I like you ain't never seen Gigi like, in action.
They used to be able to do... called a snack pack. I never know her to
it was, well, pack. No, it was her crew, but people used to really go there just to see them because they would do all these tricks. She's a professional trained dancer.
Gigi,
so
one
when
of the
she
best
gets on
to
that
ever
pole,
do it. If there was a Stripper Hall of Fame, Gigi should be in it. Her jersey should be retired, okay? Y'all don't celebrate Gigi the way that y'all should.
All right, now, Jada Pinkett Jada Pinkett Smith was on Red Table Talk, and she did say that she's been tougher on Willow than she is on Jaden. And Willow said that her mom was so much more relaxed when it came to her brother than with her. Here's what they said.
You know, when I was younger, something as simple as just, like, getting up at the right time. Mm-hmm. It would be like, you wait, like, you better get up. I'd be in my room like, okay, I gotta get up. But then Jaden is there, she'd be like, oh.
Oh, are you ready to?
And he'd be like, maybe one moment.
She might have a point, because I would be like, no, you got to be on it.
Because for me, I knew that she's going to have it twice as hard.
Yeah.
I needed you to be strong, because mm-hmm. I know what this world is like for us as Black women.
That's crazy, because I'm the opposite.
What do you mean?
I'm harder on my son than I am my daughter.
I think that's usually how it is, though.
Because I feel like.
Yeah, she said that. She said for Will. Yeah, no, she said for Will, she's like, he's got that, that's his son. You know what I mean? Like, for the boys. Mm. And then she said for her, she looked at her like, nah, you're mine.
Gotcha.
And your father will deal with Jaden.
Yep, I think.
But my parents are definitely a lot more lenient on my brother than me. I'll tell you that. All right, now, Monique Slaughter is saying that Shaq broke up with her because he doesn't like to be questioned. She was doing an interview with Dominic Natty on his radio
that's what
show.
Happens when
and
you let them buy the Birkins and pay all the bills. Don't you ask me nothing.
He asked her what celebrity she enjoyed dating the most. Here's what she said.
How was sex with Shaq?
Fine.
Because they're guessing his size.
It's a good size.
I'm a publicist. I don't know if you know this. I worked my first clients were the NBA. There's tough times, not the most loyal. Like, so when you were with him, did you feel like it was exclusive or were you like, I know how it is?
When we met, literally the first thing he said to me was, I'm done with all being a player. I'm ready to settle down. And then I was like, wait, but I saw this on the blog.
So you broke it off with him after realizing?
No, he broke it off with me because I was asking too many questions.
I can't buy the Birkins and pay the bills and get asked questions now. Okay, pick one. All right?
Mm. All right, now that Aretha Franklin biopic that we've been waiting for starring Jennifer Hudson is delayed yet again because of coronavirus. So the release has been postponed. Respect. By 7 months. It was supposed to be released at the top of the year, January 15th. Now they're saying it'll be August 13th of 2021.
I can't wait. I love movies like
Me
that.
Me too.
You know, especially, you know who set the bar so high? Jamie Foxx. Well, not, no, I take that back. Angela Bassett and Lawrence Fishburne with What's Love Got to Do With It, then Jamie Foxx with Ray. So I'm looking forward
then
to
Muhammad
seeing
Ali.
Ali was cool.
That was good.
Yeah, it's not on the level of What's Love Got to Do With It.
It was good.
And,
man, I love all those type of movies, though. The Temptations great. Movie, that was my good. Movie, too. Temptations I still always watch that around the holidays.
Yeah, I just found out the Five Heartbeats wasn't a real group 2 years ago. Found out that 2 years ago. I had no idea.
I didn't even know.
I didn't know.
Until
I had
we
no
did
idea.
That interview that time. I didn't
when
know
Robert
either.
Johnson came here,
yeah,
I didn't know.
I didn't know that either.
So I love those type of movies is all I'm saying.
But you never heard of the Five Heartbeats until the Five Heartbeats movie.
I thought all of them was dead. Yeah. I thought it was my parents' era.
I didn't think nothing of it.
I really didn't think exactly. So either. I thought it was the Temptations and the Five Heartbeats.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
I really didn't know. There's got to be mad people out
in
there.
In the house tonight. Stand up.
I know for a fact it was mad people because when we posted that clip, it was mad people under the comments saying, I didn't know either.
I didn't know, yeah.
Y'all lying to yourself.
Love
y'all saying
doesn't
y'all
come free. You got to be.
Nobody knew the Five Heartbeats wasn't real.
I didn't know that, but all right. Charlamagne, who are you giving that down to?
There's a pastor in North Carolina named Pastor Daniel Chalmers. He needs to come to the front of the congregation. We like to have a word with him. I think it was an honest mistake, but that don't mean that you still can't get the credit you deserve for being stupid.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA.
This don't be a donkey, because right now you want some real donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the hero.
Did she get Donkey of the Day? Please tell me.
I have become Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
You're a donkey.
Yes, donkey of the day for Thursday, October 29th, goes to a North Carolina pastor named Daniel Chalmers. He's from Raleigh, North Carolina. First of all, God morning to everybody in Raleigh. Raleigh is a beautiful city with beautiful people. Drop on the clues bombs for Raleigh. Okay? Salute to my homegirl Tiffany out there and Big Tex and all of y'all. Now, listen, you can't spell pastor without a P. And that's exactly what Daniel Chalmers did to a female passenger on a flight. Let's go to WRAL NBC 5 for the report, please.
A Raleigh pastor has been cited for assault after investigators say he urinated on a sleeping passenger during a Delta flight.
Police have identified the pastor as Daniel Chalmers. He's pastor of Love Wins Ministry in Raleigh. Investigators say the incident happened on a flight to Detroit from Las Vegas earlier this month. A woman says she was asleep on the red-eye flight sitting next to Chalmers when she woke up and saw him relieving himself on her. An off-duty officer was on the flight and detained Chalmers. Documents show the pastor admitted to having two drinks followed by an Ambien. Yesterday, Chalmers released a statement to the local Fox station in Detroit saying that that was the first time he had ever taken the sleep medicine. He also apologized to the passenger. Chalmers also went on to say, quote, I want to please ask everyone for their forgiveness in this. I never intended or wanted for this to happen. Again, Chalmers was ticketed for simple assault for the incident. He said he would release a statement clarifying what happened on his website soon.
That poor traumatized woman, 2:44 a.m. on a flight, you knocked out, you feel something warm on you, then you wake up and it's a penis in your face, okay? Some might call that a good time, but this is not catered to you by Destiny's Child. You can't tap a stranger on the shoulder and tell them to roll over. That only works with your significant other. This is not Chris Brown back to sleep either. I don't care how late it is, and I don't care that you can't focus. You don't know me, all right? The only time you want to wake up to a penis in your face is when it's your bae, period. Why you? I hate you. Don't be looking over here, bro. Okay? You got a problem, all right? Now, I do have empathy for Daniel Chalmers, okay? I don't think he's some perverted, pushy penis pastor. I think he was out of his mind because he was on Ambien and he was drinking. Now, I've never done Ambien, but our producer, Daniel, who has done what seems like every drug at some point in his life.
He's done this before us.
Was describing it to me, and it just sounds like the devil. Explain, Daniel. What happens?
I want to preface by saying that in college, I was very responsible.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I'm proud to say that. Okay. No, I'm proud to say that by senior year in college, I cleaned up.
Okay.
And stopped experimenting. Okay. Now, with that being said, Ambien, when you take it and resist the urge to go to sleep,
okay,
it's like an intense hallucinogenic.
Okay.
And my one experience with it was like I was unable to walk. I don't remember it. I kind of remember it. I don't remember like what I did, but I remember not being able to like be a functioning human.
Okay.
I've never drank on it, but after reading about it, it did say that drinking on Ambien will make you just completely black out and forget absolutely everything.
But you're still functioning from what I was told. You correct. Still do a bunch of activities. You correct. Just don't remember what you did.
Correct.
Okay. Now, after hearing that, how do we know this pastor didn't think he was performing a baptism? Baptism is almost always used with water. It's performed by sprinkling or pouring water on the head or dunking a person underneath a body of water, partially or completely. Maybe he thought he was sprinkling water on her head. Maybe he thought he was doing an exorcism and needed to throw some holy water on her. I don't know. But after hearing Daniel and, you know, describe how people with Ambien do their daily activities and don't remember anything the next day, I'm like, what the hell did he think he was doing? What did you think you was doing, Daniel, when you was on it?
My intentions were to just kind of see what happened.
What? So you wanted to do that?
Yeah.
Wanted to pass out?
No. You resist the urge to go to sleep.
And that's fun?
I mean, sophomore year of college, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel.
Oh, boy.
All I'm saying is certainly wasn't intentional, but a police officer who was sitting in the emergency row said he asked the victim what happened, and she replied,
the power of Christ compels you.
That was him, sorry.
What?
He said, what?
That was wrong with you?
I don't know what's going on.
That's not
morning.
What she replied.
I'm sorry.
The police officer asked her what happened, and she replied, he peed on me. Then when the cop asked Chalmers, what did you do? He replied, I peed on her. I thought I was going to the bathroom. Let me tell you something. It's that kind of honesty that will make me put something very generous in the collection plate. That type of truth makes my tithes and offerings be special because all I want from my pastors, my spiritual leaders, is the truth. But this debunks the whole I didn't know what I was doing theory if he could tell the cop what he was doing, right? Now, this is where it gets sketchy. Later on, Pastor Chalmers later denied peeing on anyone. In fact, he said, whatever it is she is accusing me of doing, I didn't do it. When he was advised of what it was the victim was accusing him of, he replied, I'm a pastor. That is out of my character, and I didn't do it. Maybe out of your character, but what is your character when you on Ambien and you drinking Satan semen? You don't know because you don't remember, just like Dan, okay? Don't make me remind you of the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That command demands truthfulness. It forbids lying. I don't think Pastor Chalmers is lying on purpose. I just think Pastor Chalmers needs to stop buying Ambien and liquor with the church's money because clearly when he's on that sauce, he knows not what he is doing. This is exactly why we must forgive him. We got to give people the grace that we want God to give us. If God's grace is too much, well, then at least give people the grace you want for yourself. But when you're giving them that grace, always remember to give them the credit they deserve for being stupid. Pastor Chalmers, even though we understand you was just trying to get some sleep, mixing Ambien and alcohol was stupid. And that's why you're getting donkey here today. Pastor Chalmers, literally, on an Ambien bottle. You know how I know? Because Dan showed me one.
It's on Google.
Okay, Dan sent me the Ambien bottle. Literally on the Ambien bottle, the first commandment you see, not the second commandment, not the fourth commandment, not the sixth commandment, not the eighth commandment, not the tenth commandment, the first commandment you see on the Ambien bottle is avoid alcohol while taking this product. Is that what made you avoid alcohol, Dan? Reading that?
Avoid alcohol?
On Ambien.
I didn't drink
who,
on Ambien.
What? Where?
But I'm saying, did you not drink the alcohol on the Ambien? Because
correct. No, I did not.
Because of what it said on the bottom.
I didn't look at the label.
Oh, okay.
Can I clean my character real quick?
No. You are who you no. are, Dan. All right?
I'm
you
not,
are now.
I'm not proud.
You are now.
I'm not
everybody
proud.
Everybody go look at his Instagram page. He had a mullet.
Maybe pastors don't. He did have a mullet.
He did have a mullet.
Maybe, taking Ambien.
All I'm saying is maybe pastors don't understand commandments if they don't read thou shalt not. Maybe it should have said thou dumbass shalt not take alcohol while taking this product. If Ambien would have started with thou shalt not, Pastor Chalmers wouldn't be getting the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones right now.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day. Ooh, you are the donkey.
All right, guys.
Of the day.
Okay, guys. Turn the music off, drum. Let Dan clean up his character the way he cleaned up his drug habit.
Well, that's what it was. I had a legitimate issue in college.
Mm-hmm.
It was legitimate addiction problems. It was specifically Xanax, if we're being honest and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, like, down to experiment with anything under the sun that wasn't a needle. And I'm not proud of it, but...
Wow.
I'm senior year of college.
What else did you try? You tried crack?
Was that cleaning up your character?
That wasn't really cleaning up your character. Yeah.
I wasn't in a good...
I was down to do any drugs. I was
in bad shape. I was legitimately addicted to drugs.
He was being honest.
Could you stop shaming him, Angela Yee? Yeah. He was addicted to drugs.
I said he's just being honest.
That's all.
He's telling the truth.
Oh, damn.
I lost a lot of friends over it.
Yeah, yeah.
Got punched in the face over it.
They punched you? Would you owe somebody money?
Deservingly.
And we hired you here at the Breakfast Club.
Yeah. And I cleaned up, I sobered up, I got my ish together. And,
man, you are a liar. And you
know, no. That is crazy. Get the test right now. Watch me pass this with flying colors. Watch me pass these tests with flying colors. Man, that is crazy. I'm trying to be serious.
And this is why people don't share.
I'm trying to be vulnerable.
Right. Stop, guys. This is serious.
This is why people don't share.
Drug use is serious. Stop it, guys. Stop. Grow up, drum. You anything else, Dan?
Opioid addiction is a serious problem.
Listen, I got something to say.
And I'm proud to say it.
My name is Lennard. And I, too, was an addict.
Y'all play too
anybody
much.
Anybody else want to stand up in the room?
Y'all play too
this
much.
Is not funny. I feel your pain, Dan. Congratulations. How long you been sober?
Since senior year of college, 2013.
Woo! Drop on the clues bombs.
That's nice.
7 years of sobriety for Dan.
And weed, you don't do weed either, right?
Nah, I smoke.
You do smoke?
Yeah.
Why did he just laugh? Who laughed?
Dramos.
But is that sobriety, though?
Because you stop.
I'm just asking a question.
Stop already. The guy is pouring his heart out here.
No, it's not. Dan definitely cleaned himself up. It's nice.
That's right.
This is awkward and uncomfortable. All right. All right. Well, thank you, Dan. And
we appreciate you.
Charlamagne for that donkey of the day.
I forgot we were doing donkey.
Yeah, I forgot so, too. I thought this was...
It's turned into Fix My Life.
All right. So, all right, up next. Jeez. Up next is Ask Ye. 800-585-1051.
Dan Sober Coach is texting him right now. Good job, Dan. Congratulations.
Goodness gracious. We love you, Dan.
That's good, man.
We love you guys, too.
We love
you.
All good. Think.
Oh.
All good.
All right, Ask Ye is next. You got a question for Ye? Call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What you want to know?
Baby mama issues? Need some words of wisdom? Call up now for Ask Ye. 800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Come on.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
Amaya James.
Hey, how old are you?
28.
Okay, what's your question for Ye?
Okay, I had a question because I recently broke up with my fiance of 2 years last month, 3 years before his, 3 days before his birthday. And recently, he called me early in the morning. And when I answered, he heard a male in my background. So and he got upset. And I was just wondering, am I wrong for, and it's like it wasn't even a situation where I'm moving on. I just wanted to have a good time. But am I wrong for doing that too soon?
So wait, you're not in a relationship?
No.
You broke up with your fiance and he's mad that you're dating someone else and he's probably, you know, hurt, jealous, whatever. It is what it is. But you decide when you're ready to do what you want to do. And so if you feel like you want to move on and date people and have fun, that's completely up to you. You just have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. And that's the main thing.
Yeah. And see, that's how I was feeling about it. And it's like I said, it's nothing serious between me and the guy. It's just like a fun moment. But it's like at the same time, I'm thinking in my head, we're not together. You know, even though it was last month, even though it's hurting, we're not together. And on top of that, I'm still helping you with a lot of your finances. So why are you upset with me?
Right. So you guys are still in communication. So maybe he's hopeful that you'll get back together. And for him, that was a sign that it won't happen.
Okay, gotcha.
And the other thing is, you know, I know that are you feeling hurt right now? Are you, you know, haven't really dealt with the relationship not happening? Because it is hard to break up with somebody, but still be in constant communication with them.
Yeah, and it's like the one reason that I decide for the breakup is because I ask myself, if I broke up with him, will I be sad, upset, or mad? And with going through with what I dealt with him, I'm not. Like, I feel totally okay. I feel fine. I actually feel free. And I just thought he would have the same feeling with the struggles we were going through.
Well, why did you guys break up?
Well, during the time we were together, I went through 2 mental breakdowns. The last one was the hardest, where I was at my lowest. And I didn't feel like he was helping. I just felt like he was there because, as my fiance, he needs to be there.
Okay, so you were having your personal issues and you didn't feel his support.
No, not at all. And on top of that, when it comes to, like, finance-wise, I understand, you know, you got to get your stuff together, yada, yada. You know, I'm here for that. I was paying the car insurance and the cell phone bill constantly with no help. And it's like when I saw he was going up, I tried to ask, well, hey, you know, you want to help, yada, yada, yada. He declined and would spend on his money on foolish stuff, like, really foolishness, cigarettes, alcohol, and I'm just like, I can't, we're not going in the same direction.
Right, priorities. I got it. Okay, so the issue is that you were ready to move on, and a lot of times with women, before we even end a relationship, in our head, it's been over, so we kind of are more over it, and for men, it kind of comes out of the blue, and maybe he wasn't anticipating that, and he's still not over it.
Gotcha. I just wanted to make sure, like, because I was second-guessing myself the whole time. Like, well, maybe I am a bad person for just moving on.
No.
My friends is like,
you're not wrong. You moved on. You broke it off. You're not together. You're still helping him. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're not doing anything wrong. You're honest.
Oh. Okay. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Good luck. All right, that's Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, hit Ye right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Keep it real with you.
Here's some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Ye.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Tiffany.
Hey, good morning. What's your question for Yee?
Okay, my question for Yee is, how do I get close to my daughter? Back close to my daughter.
Can
you hear me good?
Back close with her daughter.
Oh, back close. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, my daughter was touched on her bottom at school. So I went up to the school, said something to the principal or whoever, and she came home and she told me she would never tell me nothing again.
Mm.
And if she goes through anything like this, she said she'd rather go through it in silence than to tell me.
Right. How old is she?
13.
You know what? She probably, and this is the problem, and this is why you need to make sure you have these conversations, because I remember being in school, and that was always an issue, right? With, you'll get off the bus, and guys would be trying to touch you and touch your butt, and it's embarrassing, but it's wrong. And so she has to understand that she didn't do anything wrong by telling you that he did. And I guess now more people know about it than she wanted to know about it. Is that what it is?
I think so. And the principal was telling me that a lot of the kids do a lot of things just to be in the in group. So if you don't get a lot of likes on your, they're trying to commit suicide. And it scares me. Like, I don't want my daughter to feel like she's, you know, by herself or for telling, you know, speaking up for herself or her mother fighting for her that she's gotta suffer.
Oh,
that's scary as a mother.
Yeah, but mama, she probably look at it like you went to school and embarrassed her after she told you something, you know, that she didn't want you to put out there. She probably just told you to confide in you, but didn't want you to go out there and wild out to the principal and embarrass
her.
But
Envy, with your kids, if that happens to your daughter, you'd have been right up at that school going crazy on that kid.
My wife would have calmed me down. I definitely would have tried, but we'd have had to have a conversation with her first to let her know what was going on, because we wouldn't want to embarrass her or make it worse, you know?
Yo, I'm beating up that kid's daddy if one of them kids touched my daughter's butt at school. I'm letting you know that right now. I'm going to beat up the daddy.
What would you do?
I'm beating up the daddy.
Well, her mom's a cop.
But listen, I understand that you did what you thought was right because you're protecting your daughter. It's a different age when we were growing up, too. Like, right now, they're growing up with social media. And you're right. Kids are bullying each other on social media. They're making you feel like you're not cool if you do certain things. Oh, your mom was here. So she's embarrassed. And you need to acknowledge that. But you also need to just shower her with so much love right now, because that's difficult. She went through something hard at school that she did not like. She wasn't sure how to handle it. She confided in you. And now more people know about it than she wanted to know about it. That was something she wanted to tell you and
she's
work through.
Yep.
No disrespect to your child, but you are the parent, and your child got sexually assaulted, if we're being totally honest with you. So you
she wants her daughter
in.
to be able to be open with her, though.
Exactly,
you want her to be able to come to you and tell you things. You don't want something else to happen, and then now she doesn't want to tell her mom.
Yeah,
but I'm not your friend. I'm your mom.
That's right.
So I'm here to protect
you. Yeah, that's great, but now you don't want it to get to a situation where things are happening and she can't even confide in you, because that's my mom, not somebody older. I feel comfortable with.
She will get older and she will thank you for that later. She's just
about
a kid
what
now.
What about if something happens again and she
we're talking about now.
You. Coming to mom.
But I think it does also take time, and you have to be really patient with her and just loving and understanding and let her know the door is open. And even if it's a situation where maybe you have to bring in an outside person to help her work through things where you're not even there, where she can speak to somebody in confidence, like a counselor or a therapist, and work through her feelings so she can understand it. Because sometimes when it's somebody you love who's really close to you, that's harder to have that conversation.
Mm.
Is dad around?
Yeah.
Maybe we do good cop, bad cop. You know, one that says no, you should, you know what I mean, almost like play off each other. Like, you know, me and the wife do that
sometimes. No, because the dad going to say, I'm going to kill that little boy.
And
then the daughter going to say, well, I'm not telling dad nothing because I don't want dad to kill somebody and end up going to jail.
But she should still tell mommy, and mommy can still get the thing. I do that with my wife all the time. I go over and react, but the kids still tell my wife things, and then we can go back and forth. We play good cop, bad cop all the time.
You know, I was just thinking about this town hall I did with these young girls. They were teenagers, and how many instances, and it was all about the Me Too movement and how many things these young girls have to go through. When I tell you, everybody in the room was crying. It was a room of like 80 girls, and they were all talking about their experiences. And it's hard because sometimes things happen. Other people make fun of you for it. If you say anything about it, you know, it's, they make you feel like you're the wrong person.
But shouldn't
and
we
these
change
girls
that
don't have anybody.
Shouldn't we be the ones encouraging young girls to speak up and speak out and don't care what other people think when it comes to you and your body? Like, why are we conforming
yes,
to
Yes, I think that's an easy thing to say, but it's more than just saying to do that.
Well,
it has
helping.
To be a definite shift.
We can't force them, though, and we gotta allow them to speak when they want to speak and make them comfortable for them to speak.
I just don't think you're doing anything wrong as a mom being concerned.
I don't think so either.
And she may be upset for a little while, but when things hit the fan again and for anything in life, she's coming right back to mama like we all do.
Okay. And Angela, what were you talking about with the girls movement? Maybe can my daughter join it?
Well, this was in Long Island.
Oh.
So, it was called Girls Talk, but there are so many different organizations like that. This one is called Girls Talk that, you know, it's great if there's some people that she could talk to that maybe is not her mom or somebody really, you know, that's really what I think, because sometimes it's hard to express yourself like that and you really hold back, but there's a lot to it. She's embarrassed that something happened to her. Then she told you, other people know. Now she's even more embarrassed. Now she feels like she can't trust you. And I do feel like it will pass, but she just has to understand that you're coming from a place of love.
Most definitely. Oh,
I think and I'll support.
My little question and hear me out. I would appreciate it.
All right, good luck, mama.
All right, thanks. All right,
bro.
All right,
you got to stop farting in here, bro.
It's not. It's the mic.
Y'all need to fix that then, because that's very distracting.
You hear it? You always think something. You know what? Ask ye 800-585-1051. Now we got rumors on the way, ye.
Yes, and let's talk about Tamar Braxton. Her Tamron Hall interview aired yesterday, and we'll tell you some of what she's been going through with her ex, David.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip.
Gossip.
The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
So, as you know, Tamar Braxton was on Tamron Hall yesterday, and she addressed a lot of things that had to do with her attempting to commit suicide and her diagnosis with depression and anxiety. Here's what she had to say.
That was my lowest point of life.
Had you ever tried to take your life before?
There's been a time where I wanted to.
But this was the first time you'd acted on it.
Yeah.
Have you since tried to take your own life?
No. It's been a lot of dark, hard times.
Have you been diagnosed with depression?
Yes, I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety due to a circumstance.
Are you medicating yourself?
No, I'm not medicated. But I am in counseling every single day.
Mm-hmm. I wish her all the healing in the world, man. That anxiety and depression is no joke.
Now, Tamar did say she is feeling better now.
I'm good. I wasn't. I was living a complete lie and facade that I was okay for a long time, but I'm good now.
Good. How is good defined?
Good is better than yesterday. I just have a scope on where I'm going, and I know that that is up from here because I know the struggles that I've had and I've learned from them, and I know the signs, and I know when I'm not okay.
Yeah, man. I wish her all the healing in the world. Take care of your mental health and emotional health. She's right, though. When you start, like, you know, going to therapy and learning how to, you know, deal with it, practice mindfulness, you can tell when it's a panic attack. You can tell when the depression is setting in. And I have so many coping mechanisms now that I use when those things happen. So you can be good today and not good tomorrow, and that's okay, too, as long as you have, you know, coping mechanisms and know how to treat it.
Well, Tamar also talked about what was causing her mental illness, and it has to do with the show.
What was it about this relationship with the network that led you to want to take your own life?
I already felt dead.
Was that because of the show or other things, Tamar?
It was about feeling like I could never be myself and being misunderstood and having the stigma of the angry black woman all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she also says that she had to work because she had a contract.
How did it lead to the night or the day that you attempted to take your own life?
Well, after I sent the letter, I got a call sheet to come to work anyway, as if I didn't tell anybody that I felt like I was going to kill myself. I wanted to die. And then after my attorneys and myself was like, you guys, this is serious. This is not going to work. I later got a breach letter the day before.
Now, that right there is the worst thing for your mental health. When you are forced to do something that you don't want to do, feeling like you don't have a choice, you got to show up because, you know, it's a contract or something. That is the worst. That's why I don't do nothing I don't want to do.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, you're absolutely right. But then again, I'm with you. If I don't feel comfortable doing it,
I'm not coming.
Or even if I change my mind,
y'all know me.
I care more about my mental health.
That's
if you
right.
got to sue me. Do what you got to do. But I'd rather be happy and home than y'all stressing
y'all
me
know
out.
Me. I changed my mind bottom of the knife in it. I thought Charlamagne was going to be here. Nope.
No. Well, you know, I don't tell people you coming anyway. They be like, Charlamagne coming? I'm
like, yeah,
nope.
Right. Y'all know Charlamagne ain't showing up.
You see where I'm at.
Not the way my anxiety set up.
You know Charlamagne ain't coming. He here? Oh, man.
Now, let's talk about Freeway. We want to give our condolences to Freeway and his family.
Oh, Lord.
Unfortunately,
Lord.
Looks like his son has passed. He said, God knows I try my best to be strong, but this right here is a pain like I never felt. Please cherish your time and your loved ones because we're not promised the next breath.
You got to tell us when you're doing these dark ass rumor reports. You need a new intro. You need an intro for just straight dark
rumor
reports.
Yeah,
because
we was just laughing and then it just,
Rest in peace to Freeway. Son. Rest in peace to Oskino. I thought post his son passed away too, man. The hell's going on?
And to my girl Viv, Gossip Viv. She was on Gossip Game with me. Her husband just died.
For real?
And she's going through it too, yes.
How dark you taking right. this today?
Now we're going to move on and talk about Ice Cube. Now, Louisiana Congressman Cedric Richmond is denying that Ice Cube was told by Joe Biden's campaign to wait until after the election to make his demands for the black community. Richmond is saying that's just simply not true. He said, I like the fact that Ice Cube is getting engaged in policy. I think that is a good thing. However, once you embark on getting into it, one, you have to be truthful, but two, you have an obligation, I think, to see it through and to be thorough with it. Our plan is very thorough. I won't say he has a skeleton plan, but he has an outline of things that should be done. It's not as comprehensive as our plan, and so that's what we told him. And the offer to stay engaged was not, we'll talk to you after the election. It went like this. Here's my cell number. Anything else you want to talk about on this plan or anything you think you know we need to talk about further, just pick up the phone and call.
Well, even if they did tell him to talk to him after the election, that would make the most sense because they can't do anything because they're not in power. So they would have to talk to him after the election.
Now, they did offer for him to be part of a Zoom call with Senator Kamala Harris that included other people. And when Ice Cube was on Fox Soul's Cocktails with Queens, here's what he said.
You were contacted for the Zoom call with Kamala Harris, with Adele Hughley, Snoop Dogg, you, Killer Mike. They were all on the call and you were not on the call. Why did you not participate?
I just thought that getting on a Zoom call with 12 other entertainers all shooting what they believe needs to be done, to me, wasn't going to be productive. And I was also, my lawyer has a connection with Kamala Harris, and I was promised a call that I never received. I feel like our plan is so broad that you can't talk about it with 12 other people who had nothing to do with it.
Well, Biden Harris didn't reach out to Ice Cube to be on that call. Like, no, I reached out to Ice Cube to be on that call because I helped organize it and moderated it, you know. But that was back in early September, and the call was actually very productive. No disrespect to Cube, but I can't think of too many rappers alive that are more thoughtful with their words and more organized with their plans than Killer Mike, Michael Rinder. And Mike broke down a lot of things on that call that he thought needed to be done, and they were very well received from Senator Harris and Cedric Richmond. So if Cube would have been on that call and he could have explained what's in his contract to Black America, it would have been received very well, and it would have been very productive. And I just think it's always scrimping numbers. I think unity and group operation is a must. So if 12 brothers on a call, everybody getting a chance to speak, everybody getting a chance to be listened to, some people were just on there listening, it would have been very productive for Cube, I believe, personally.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right. Revolt, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are the Breakfast Club.
Now, yes, and you know, there's only 5 days left until it's no longer time for you to be able to vote anymore. So make sure y'all are registered to vote. Make sure you know everything that you need to know before you go to the polls. I was just looking at some of the sample ballots and everything to make sure I'm prepared for when I head out to go vote. I think I'm going to try to do it either today or tomorrow to do my early voting. I already looked up where the location is to early vote near me. Now Levi's is teaming up with Rock the Vote, and that's how you can make sure that you know all of your key dates, your voting how-tos. You can text Levi's to 788-683. A lot of these places where you early vote is not where you're going to vote on election day, so just make sure it might not be a place that you've ever voted at before.
Yeah,
just
tomorrow
look up, put in your address. You put in your address, and it'll tell you where your local early voting place is.
Yeah, tomorrow's the last day to early vote.
Not here in New York.
You sure? The election's Tuesday.
Yeah, I just looked it up. I just looked it up. You can vote till Sunday.
Oh, you can vote till Sunday. Okay.
Well, here in New York.
All right. All right, well, when we come back, positive note is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
It's DJ Envy, and for 55 years, the General Insurance has been giving people affordable auto insurance with excellent customer service. Get custom coverage that's right for you and immediate proof of insurance. Call them at 800-GENERAL or visit thegeneral.com. Some restrictions apply.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, shout to Chelsea Handler for joining us this morning.
Yes, I really like Chelsea Handler.
And also,
I think she's funny. You got to watch her special on HBO Max.
Don't forget my virtual car show. Shout to Lincoln Tech. We're doing, you know, I do a car show each and every year. This year we had one scheduled in Houston, Detroit, New York, New Jersey, Dallas, and we had one more in Atlanta. And of course, we had to give everybody their money back because we just don't want to put people in harm's way because due to COVID. I know a lot of people are still doing things, but we just rather just wait till next year. So we're doing it virtually. And the virtual car show is pretty dope. We put a lot of effort and time into it where you can actually use your iPhone, your Android, your computer, your iPad, and you can go into the car show and go into the different cars and click videos on the car. Celebrities will be there. It's pretty dope. So if you get a chance, click the link in my bio or power105.com and definitely check it out. Get your tickets, and we're going to have a lot of fun at the car show. All right, now, Charlamagne.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
You got a positive note?
I do have a positive note, man. I just want to tell everybody out there, heal, man. Heal so you don't ever have to give a sarcastic tone to uplifting messages. Heal so you never have to make anyone else the object of your own frustration. Heal so when someone tells you they love you, you may allow yourself to believe them.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?